Russia is evacuating its embassy staff out of Libya after an attempted attack on the Russian diplomatic mission in Tripoli. It was a reminder that the country is still struggling for stability following the revolution that led to the death of Muammar Gaddafi, who was killed by rebels in 2011. His obituaries featured a litany of the grim realities of his 42-year rule, his role in the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Scotland, which killed all 270 people on board, hit squads set up to assassinate Libyan dissidents who lived abroad, political opponents who were imprisoned, some sentenced to death. The obituaries also mentioned his eccentricities, his elaborate wardrobe, an army of women who served as a kind of group bodyguard. But hardly a word was said about his harem, women and men who were kept trapped for Gaddafi to rape when he pleased. Now that world has been brought to light in a new book called Gaddafi's Harem, the story of a young woman and the abuses of power in Libya. Joining us from the BBC studios in Paris is the author Annick Cojon, who is also a special correspondent for Le Monde. And a note, our conversation may not be appropriate for younger listeners. Annick Cojon, thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, thank you.
Well, you went to Libya to report on Gaddafi's demise, and you were particularly interested in the role of women in the revolution there, and then you met Soraya.
Yes, exactly. I was there for Le Monde. I wanted to know what the women had done during the revolution. You know, they were hidden. You couldn't see any report, any photograph, any documentary about the role of women in the revolution. And I wanted to know if they were hiding themselves, if people didn't want to show them, if they were supporting Gaddafi or on the contrary against him. But there was a big secret about women, and my colleagues, mostly men colleagues, didn't write a word about women. So I came there for that first reason. And very, very quickly, I realized that they had played a major role during the revolution. They had provided combatants with food, hiding, transportation, healthcare, lots of information. They had bought arms, appropriated medical supplies, provided intelligence on the pro-Gaddafi forces. And they had really run incredible risk, especially the risk of been locked up and raped, given the fact that the Libyan dictator had turned rape into a weapon of war. And that stunned me. Yeah, it was just unbelievable. And of course, these women didn't talk about that. That was a completely taboo subject.
Well, tell us about what you found that happened even before the revolution, because that is really the subject of your book. And let's start with Soraya. She was just a teenager. She was told that Gaddafi would be visiting her school and she was going to be able to present him with some flowers. And when he came in, he tapped her on the head. Tell us what happened next.
Oh, well, you know, she was so surprised. She was so excited, like all the girls of the school, because the dictator was coming, the guide of the revolution. They all were calling him Papa Gaddafi. And when he came, he just had a look on her. She was trembling, shaking, because she didn't know if she had to kiss his hand or do something, say a special word or something. But she just gave him the flowers. And he placed his hand, on his praise head in what was supposed to be an affectionate gesture, I guess. And this would be a signal to his bodyguards. That meant, I want this one. And the next day, three women came to her home and took her, obliged her mother to give her, while saying, you know, a stupid pretext, that thing. Oh, she's been so good with Gaddafi yesterday that it would be good if she could offer him another bouquet, which was just stupid. And so they took her, put her in a car, and they drove to the desert. And then she was prepared, washed, shaven.
Given a blood test.
Yes, always. All the women who were supposed to be close to Gaddafi were always having a blood test. Even, you know, even in very important people, even professors, even deputies, members of the parliament, or it could be even wives of head of states. Everybody was supposed to have a blood test. And of course, she had that. And then she was pushed in his bedroom, And he tried to rape her. It took some time, and because she fought and she wasn't prepared, she was just a kid. She knew nothing about love, nothing about sex. This is a, you know, you have to know, it's a very, very conservative country, and it was just impossible to imagine this kind of thing. And well, in fact, he detained her for 5 years. She was put in his basement, and she was forced very quickly, against her will, of course, to drink, to smoke, to take cocaine. She was put into a kind of harem, which was constantly being added to, and which was, yes, located in his basement, and could call her at any time of the day and night, and with very many other women who were coming from all parts of the countries and from different countries.
And not just women, there were men as well.
Yeah, yeah. But that's even more taboo. Even the Libyans don't want to admit this idea right now. But yes, there were a lot of young men also.
Annick Cojan is special correspondent for Le Monde and author of Gaddafi's Harem, The Story of a Young Woman and the Abuses of Power in Libya. We're talking about her book and the story of Soraya. And after the break, we'll talk about why no one in Libya wants to talk about this now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now. Let's continue our conversation now about some of the untold crimes of Muammar Gaddafi. His 42-year rule ended with his death in 2011, and many of his crimes have been well told over the years, but not his crimes against women, which are laid out in a new book by Annick Cojan, a special correspondent with Le Monde. Her book is called Gaddafi's Harem, The Story of a Young Woman and the Abuses of Power in Libya. It focuses on one girl in particular, Soraya, who was taken into Gaddafi's harem after he met her at her school when she was just a teenager. Again, a note to listeners that we're talking about some of the realities of life in Libya under Gaddafi, and it may not be appropriate for younger listeners. And Annick Cojan, in the book, you write in Soraya's voice about the day she was in the school. You say, quote, "My heart was beating 100 miles a minute while everyone worked hard to make us look magnificent. As I look back to that scene today, I see it as preparing lambs to be led to slaughter."
Exactly. And, you know, I was very lucky because I met just by chance this young woman. And, you know, it is just unbelievable that she accepted to talk. And I'm lucky because she has a very good memory. She can describe with lots of details the scenes. And she was very brave because lots of women had exactly the same story. And you can't find other testimonies like Soraya's now in Libya. They are so ashamed. They are risking. She's risking her life.
Even if you are the victim of rape, you are seen as having sex outside of marriage.
It is terrible. And, you know, crimes of honor exist still a lot in Libya. I've met two different young women, young girls, I should say. She was 16. They had been raped. And they have been killed for having been raped. But she wanted to talk. And that was the reason why I wrote this story, because it concerns probably thousands of young women who have been raped by Gaddafi. Sometimes he could take them for 1 hour, for a night, for a week, for a month, or for years. In Soraya's case, it was for 5 years.
Well, one of the interesting things is that she actually does get out at one point. Her father sneaks her out of Libya. She gets to Paris. And because she has lived in this insane world in Libya under Gaddafi, she has no idea what to do. And she ends up coming back.
Oh, it is terrible. It's desperating. And, she was so ashamed of herself because she finally, came back to Libya and she was free, and she should have been more capable to stay in France. But she didn't speak the language. And, you know, she this kind of woman have a very low self-esteem, and she was a body, and she had the feeling everybody was interested into her body. So her relationship with men was just terrible. Everybody was taking profit of her, etc. So it was just a disaster when she was in Paris. And since then, I wish she could come to Paris again, but she has very awful memory. You know, she doesn't know how to make a living. She didn't know, she has no discipline. She was just escaping for the harem and had no idea what could be relationship between men and women. So yes, her escape in Paris has been a disaster. And then she came back. And the minute she put a foot in Libya again, coming from the airport, immediately Gaddafi's people found her. And a couple of hours later, she was back in his basement.
One of the images that many Americans have of Gaddafi is him standing there with these female guards, these Amazons.
Yeah.
And it appears from your reporting that they were not guards at all.
No, most of them were not. Well, some had a small training at the Women's Military Academy or at the police academy, but they were chosen to be in this special elite, just for their looks, and because he was attracted by all these kind of women. And even Soraya, who is, you know, she was 15 when she was taken by Gaddafi, and when every time she was accompanying him in his various homes, she was obliged to wear the uniform of this unit and would have to pretend to be a battle-hardened soldier. Only a handful of these women, yes, had undergone some training. Most of them knew just nothing. They didn't know how to fight. They had no idea at all. It was just a total sham.
Why do you think, Annick Cojon, that nobody wants to talk about this, even now, after Gaddafi is out and dead?
Yeah.
You have gone back in and tried to get people to tell you all about this. Many of them, it is clear from your interviews, knew what was going on, but they don't want to talk about it.
Oh, no. In this society governed by religion and tradition, sex is a totally taboo subject, as I was saying. Victims and eyewitnesses were still so afraid to talk about this topic, and several of the people that I spoke with received threats and intimidation. Very often I was told, it would be best for you, boss, you and Libya, if you were to abandon this investigation. And at the very highest levels of government, the investigation was viewed as an affront, an insult. You know, as a rape of a young girl brings dishonor upon her entire family, especially upon the male members of the family, the rape of thousands of women by the country's former ruler inevitably brings dishonor upon the entire country. This society can't bear this kind of secret.
Are you optimistic about the future of women in Libya?
Oh, I don't know what to say. My temperament normally is I'm optimistic, but this is so complicated, really. You know, I had a big surprise also to see that there was twice a demonstration with posters with the cover of my book in French and in Arabic, because it has been translated in Arabic. And some women were in the street and saying, never again, please, never again. So, you know, there's a little bit of debates now about that. Also, there was some election. There have been, but they have been democratic in a way, and there was rather good surprise, and 30 women have been elected at the parliament also. So some of them mention and are very aware of the situation and are trying to protect and to defend women. So at least they don't have this fear of the dictator, because he was ready to, he was taking all occasion, weddings, school visits, university lectures, fashion shows, etc., to catch women. So this is finished, and it can't be worse. But still, it's still very, very complicated and very dangerous for women.
Well, it is an incredible book. Annick Cojon, the author of Gaddafi's Harem, The Story of a Young Woman and the Abuses of Power in Libya. Annick Cojon, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, you.
And we have an excerpt from the book at hereandnow.org.
funding for HERA now comes from Brilliant Earth, committed to environmental and social responsibility with conflict-free diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, and other fine jewelry, online at brilliantearth.com. And Gentle Giant Moving Company, coordinating moves in neighborhoods across the country with locations nationwide. More at gentlegiant.com.